This week on the Time Bat Show.
They send him video clips like, oh, look out, here's a big explosion.
The war on Mars is raging here. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Time Bat Show. I'm one of your hosts, Time Asus.
I'm your other host, Bat Snacks.
And it's episode number 100 and something. Who cares? How are you doing today, Bat Snacks? It's Pi Day. Did you know
it's
that?
It's Pi Day. 3.14 is the day.
Yeah, and 3.141598, I don't know. I used to know like 10 digits, but I don't.
Yeah, it's like 3.1415 something.
So go ahead.
I was going to say, so we're never going to get, like, true Pi Day again. That happened in the 1500s. We're never going to.
That's true. Unless we roll over again.
That's true.
We could roll over our dates. Do you ever think we'll do that?
This is something I think about all the time. Maybe not the concept of rolling over dates, but the, like, epochs.
Yeah.
That's a very cool subject to me.
It is. Do you think we'll ever be in another epoch? As a human race?
I think that would be a good thing to do.
I think so, too. But, like, so all the other epochs of the past happened at, like, some event. You know, some big thing. But, like, what would our big thing be to make us be a new epoch, you know?
Yeah, that's the difficult thing. You can't really compete with what allegedly happened at our last one. And, Jesus, you know, when Jesus or the Messiah or whatever, like, it's going to be hard to top
that. Was it Jesus's birth or his death? I don't remember.
Is, like, I don't know.
I think it's death. No, it's Anno Domini, so it's the year of our Lord. So I think it's his birthday.
Okay.
I think. The weird thing about that is, like, they didn't know they were in AD. You know what I mean? They're like, there wasn't, like, a switch. Someone announces, like, hey, everyone. We're in AD now, okay? And they're just like, whatever, I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, you know? All the people at the post office in 0 AD were like,
did they even know what year it was? You know? Do you think they tracked that?
I'm going to show my ignorance about history and just say they used the moon calendar or something.
I think the Romans tracked history. So they were like, oh, it's 900 BC or whatever. But no, they definitely didn't do that because BC was before.
Yeah.
Because BC goes in reverse, right?
Yeah.
So how did we figure out... Wait, this doesn't make any sense.
They had a different calendar. It wasn't the one we use, right? I think it was that it had the similar months, but it was just a different number for the year. Okay. Or maybe there wasn't even a year number. Maybe they didn't
have that. Maybe we're like, that was 30 springs ago, or whatever.
Yeah, the epoch was maybe the present.
Yeah. Anyway, what do you think if we had a new epoch, what would it be? The hard thing today would be we would all have to agree that, like, that's the start of a new epoch, right?
Yeah.
Which,
if you think about programming and stuff, whenever, you know, anyone programs anything time related, they have to have an epoch for their program to work.
Yeah.
And the one that people usually use just because they're lazy is January 1st, 1970.
Yeah. Have you heard about the issue that comes up with that, though, in, like, 2030-something?
Yeah, I think it's, like, so you keep track of time in fractions of weeks, and since only a certain number of weeks can be stored...
No, I think you'd keep it in seconds.
In seconds? Well, there's, But the issue is eventually the number gets too big to be stored as a value.
In an integer.
In an integer value.
Mm-hmm. And so what do you do?
You move the epoch forward, maybe?
I guess. But, like, here's the weird thing. Like, a bunch of computer systems use this number or are, like, relative to the epoch. So, like, they're using their dates as a number. So once the number rolls up, like, once it rolls past this 2036 date or whatever that's too big to store, it would just basically roll over back to 00000. So everything would start again at 1970. Two computers. Unless they, like, fixed it. Which they can, but It's a lot of things.
Yeah.
So
I've heard it's like GPSs. It's like things that are important to like not have people die.
Satellites, you know, yeah. Just small things like that.
Yeah, trains.
Yeah, traffic systems. You know, nothing important. You know, airspace control.
Yeah.
You know.
Probably missiles.
just small things like that, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a problem that someone's going to have to face in 2036 or whenever it is. The weird thing is it's kind of like Y2K, but it's going to be way worse than Y2K.
Yeah.
Because Y2K, it's like, okay, 1999 to 2000, like, we're all worried, like, oh, how's the computer going to store the year 2000? Like, well, if it doesn't store it, then it just doesn't store it, like, big whoop, you know?
Yeah.
Like, who cares? But in 2036 or whatever, like, it's going to store it, but it's just going to make it so that it's 1970. You know what yeah. I mean? Like, so when we're doing math for, like, how many minutes has it been since this? It's like, well, it's been negative 5,000 minutes, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
Because it's all, you know, in the past at this point. So it's going to be, it'll be weird. I don't know. We'll see how they do it.
Anyway. Yeah, the idea of what do you choose as your epoch, though, that's a really good question.
Isn't it? I feel like, so a lot of science fiction books use, like, the day mankind discovered fast and light travel as, like, an epoch date.
Yeah.
But, like, my question is, how does mankind agree that, like, that's an epoch date? Does the UN gather and they're like, here, 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 we're making a new epoch date on this day, and from here on, everything after this day will start at 1, you know, after FTL, you know, AF or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like, how do you agree to that? It's weird.
The problem with that is a lot of time systems are tied to religion, and people will get very upset if,
Yeah. Do you think we even need a new epoch, though, at this point?
Right now, no.
Do you think we'll ever need one? We could just go up to 30,000, you know, years in the future, whatever, and be 30,000 AD.
I just think, like, we should change it.
Seems
like,
wrong.
A little variety.
there's no point, though, at the end of the day, right? Not really.
Well, our calendar right now isn't very good for computing, because you have stuff like leap years, you have all kind of, like, you have weird stuff with dates.
So you're saying next time we do an epoch, we just, like, tear the whole thing down and we start over.
You know, make a calendar that makes a little more sense.
Make a new system.
I mean, who even uses a calendar anyway anymore, other than for, like, basic week-to-week stuff?
Yeah. It's, why does February have, you know, less days than every other month?
Yeah, what you really need a calendar for in the future is for programming. And I think it would make more sense to make a calendar that's easier to program with.
All the months have exactly the same number of days.
Yeah.
We don't even have months anymore. Why do we even need them? What's the point? Well, that's not true. You kind of need months.
They're good for keeping track of holidays because you know that Cinco de Mayo is in, like, May. And
I love how that's your example.
That's the best holiday.
You know Cinco de Mayo. I need to know when that is every year, and it's in May. No, but it's also good to be like, oh, March is the month that spring happens, and December is cold, and when Christmas happens. Yeah. So it's good for keeping track of, like, the seasons, you know, the months. We could really just have months separated on the seasonal days. So, like, March 21st is the first day of spring, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we have the spring month that's basically 90 days long, and it's spring up until summer. Yeah. And then when summer starts, we have the summer month, and it's just summer up until fall, and then the fall month, and then the winter month. And it's just like each month has 90 days. So you say, oh, what day is today? Oh, it's spring 32. You know what I mean? It's 32nd day of spring.
That's so much better, man.
Super easy.
Yeah.
Right?
Everybody can agree with that, too. We all live on the Earth. We all use the seasons.
Mm-hmm. Now, some months would be a little longer, because you got to even it out to 365 days. So it's not exactly 90, but it would be close. You know what I mean? Like, it would be, I don't know how many days in a month, but it doesn't really matter. You only have to remember 4 months and how many days each month has, as opposed to 12.
Yeah. Right. And some of them change and some of them don't. And, you know, on odd years, it's this. Right. And on even years, it's this.
Right. So it's like a seasonal calendar.
Okay. Yeah. So, like, maybe the hard part about this calendar, though, is getting everyone to agree what you call the months, because what's spring here is not going to be spring in Australia. You have to have a different name.
Okay. I got it. I got it. Each continent names a month.
Someone's going to get stuck with winter, though.
What do you mean?
Like, everybody's going to want spring. That's, like, the nice one, right?
Well, in Australia, winter's nice month. Oh, wait. I found another problem with this. Winter in Australia is different times than here.
That's true.
So, but it doesn't matter. The premise is still the same, because it's still... Their winter starts when our something else starts, you know what I mean? So it's like the same day. So, so it's based on the seasons, but it's not the same season for everybody. So we couldn't name them winter, spring, summer, fall. But we could name them some other things. But
This is the 13th day of Australia, 2019. I kind of like it.
Here's the other problem with that. How many continents are there? 7 or 6?
More than 4.
So we're gonna like fight for the other naming rights.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it. North America and South America jointly make one. Okay. Antarctica doesn't get one because nobody lives there. Africa gets its own, so that's 2, right?
Okay.
Australia gets one because they're Australia. Europe, no, damn it. This isn't gonna work. Okay, hold on. North South America one that we jointly name together.
Okay.
Europe
and Russia.
And
they're just gonna have to agree.
Europe and Russia all get one name. Africa
and the Middle East.
And the Middle East get a name.
Jeez.
But now do we lump China and Australia together, or Asia and Australia together?
There's only one left.
So it's Asia and Australia. They're gonna have to come together and name it.
Yeah.
So we do that, we go to the UN. And then they all go in a room, and they've got like an hour to come up with a name that they all agree on. And if they don't come to an agreement, the names are like really bad. They're like the worst. They're like fart and like crap.
Really bad.
Yeah.
It's the third day of plague.
Ugly is like a name. Like, they're terrible. Like, no, even they're, like, curse words. They're curse words in the languages that the people naming them would... Like, so, for example, North and South America is a naming one, right? Mm-hmm. So, the most spoken languages in that is Spanish. So, we come up with a curse word in Spanish, and if they don't mutually decide on a name for the date or the month, then it's some Spanish curse word. And then it's similarly for like for Europe, like it's probably like English or something, I don't know, but they, you know, we have a curse word for them. And
you know, I really like that.
Yeah,
I think that would be a great system.
And then they have to, the way we force them to agree by making the curse word thing, and then they have an hour, you know, at the UN, and they have to all come together and name the continent, or name the month. I feel like the names would be really simple, but I mean, that's fine, it'll be easy to remember.
Yeah, I mean, it would probably come down to just naming them off of like geological things. They would never agree to historical figures, because like, who do you pick?
Yeah, that's true. And different countries would be want to name different things.
Like, North and South America, we would probably pick, like, a Latin name for the planets. Like, we could probably call it something like Mars or Venus or something. We could probably agree on something like that, because we're both, like, kind of Latin languages.
Yeah, so we could pick something Latinate, you know. And European can go with something like Anglo. Well, that's not necessarily true. See, France and Italy and all the Romance
languages. Russia.
All the Romance languages have to agree with the Anglo, you know.
Call it DAS.
But they're all like 3-letter names, you know, they're all snappy. Simple, Mas and Das and, stuff like that. Just boom, boom, boom. But yeah, that's my idea for the months.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, thank you. But I don't think we're going to have another APOC anytime soon, because there's not really any reason.
Yeah, neither do I. I think if we make first contact, or if we discover faster than light travel... Oh,
first contact would be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either of those are epoch-worthy.
Epoch-worthy. But again, like, we're bringing the UN into this again, because I think they are involved. Whatever the world government it is at the time, it's going to have to come together and be like, all right, this is an epoch now, are we ready for that? And they're like, okay. And then they'll do the month thing at the same time, because why not? You're doing it, might as well do it all in one fell swoop, because, yeah, you know, if we're changing time a little, we might as well fix the issues with it while we're in there. You know, it's like when you go to the mechanic, you know, they're like,
yeah,
they're opening up your car anyway. And like, while they're in there, they might as well do all this stuff, because if to open it up again is going to cost you more money.
Yeah, you're going to have to drive there. It's going to be your whole day.
So you might as well change all the bad things about time in one fell swoop. Speaking of time, we're in daylight savings time now, which I don't know if that affected you negatively on Sunday, but...
It did.
It affected me negatively.
I got like 4 hours of sleep.
Whenever the day rolls over to daylight savings time, I'm always staying up more than I normally do. I don't know why. Yeah. It's not, like, something I do consciously, but, like, normally I don't stay up till 2 a.m., but every time daylight savings time rolls over, I'm always up till 2 a.m., like, that night. And I'm not doing it intentionally, it just happens. So every daylight savings time, I see the time change from 2 to 3. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's a bad feeling.
It is. I was like, I just lost an hour of my life that I'm never getting back. I hate daylight savings
time. It's really brutal for me, because... the specific time I wake up, an hour makes the difference between birds and sunlight and, like, total darkness.
Yeah.
Like, it's a big change.
I don't get why some people are like, we should make daylight savings time all the time, right?
Just means get rid of it, right?
There's three different... Let me tell you this. There are three different people that are in the debate. It's three different groups, right? Group A is keep daylight savings time as it is, right? Which is, you know, every March it jumps forward or whatever the hell.
Mm-hmm.
Second group is the group I'm in, which is kill it and just go back to the regular frickin' time, you know, all year. And then the third group, which is dumb but not quite as dumb as the keep daylight savings time as it is group, is instead of jumping and jumping back, we just keep daylight savings time like this current time just lasts all year. So instead of having our actual time, we're just making it an hour later all the time. Which to me is really stupid.
Yeah.
Because A, it's inaccurate. And B, it's not consistent with the sun in the sky anymore. And C, when you wake up at 8, it's like night outside.
Yeah.
Like, literally. It's like, I woke up at 8 this morning, and I was like, it's pitch blackout. Great. You know? That's weird.
Yeah. Wasn't the daylight savings time invented to make the post office more efficient or something?
It was invented because a golfer wanted to play longer games of golf.
Is that really true?
Yeah, it's really true. He's the guy that lobbied for it the most. And crap. Here we are, stuck with his bad decision.
And he can't even play golf anymore. He's too dead. Old.
Who cares?
Yeah.
And we're living with this mistake. Like, I don't understand why we're so involved in this. Like, it's unnatural. Time is based on sun in the sky. The reason we have it is to know where the sun is in the sky relative to, you know, where we are on the planet. Right? Yeah. And if you have daily savings time, you're throwing that out the window for no reason.
Yeah, and it's more, too. I think there's significant amount of medical research that, you know, documents the importance of an internal clock that's accurate and, like, keeping a schedule consistent. Like, so that's healthy.
Now you have to account for an hour lost randomly every March. Like,
yeah, that screws you up your body.
Why did we decide this was a good idea? Like, this doesn't make any sense. It complicates everything in the world for just because some guy wanted to play golf. And not only does it complicate everything, instead of, like, getting rid of it, we're just like, it's too much work to get rid of it at this point. It's like, what are you talking about? Just say no. Just stop it. It's easy. You just say, we're not doing it this year. And then everyone's like, okay. You know, the state of Arizona doesn't observe daylight savings time.
That's hilarious. There's one state
they're just like, do it. Fuck that. It's so dumb.
It sucks.
And I agree with them. I'm like, good for them. I don't want, like, that's stupid. It doesn't make any sense.
That's so funny.
And then if you look at a map, like, if you Google daylight savings time by country, it's like half the countries observe it and the other half don't. It's like, that's not confusing at all. Oh, wait, it's even more confusing. Like, it's so stupid.
Yeah, no one would even notice if you got rid of it.
No, no one would care.
It's not like it used to be where people kept track of time very accurately with their minds. Now it's just you look at your phone. Like, I wouldn't have known daylight savings time was even happening if I hadn't just looked at my phone.
It's annoying. That's all it is. It's just annoying. It's just something we're stuck with because we've been doing it so long and we're afraid to change. Because that's what we're all about as humans. We're afraid of change.
Yeah.
But time,
what if it's worse?
But time is change. Whoa. It just blew your mind.
Yes.
I want to do my first trivia question.
Oh, that's right. We have trivia time. Your first category is... is professions.
That's very general, but all right.
It's working. What lifeline will you choose as your first 50/50. Lifeline? 50/50. Okay. Your first question is, what kind of profession does one brute the griddle or girdle?
What the fuck?
In what profession do you brute the girdle?
It sounds like an Australian term. Like, did you brute the girdle
this morning?
I was like, yeah, I got it. I got it done.
That's nice and bruted.
She's a beaut. She's a real brute. Done. Sorry.
It's okay. Is it A, cooking? Uh-huh. Is it B, tailor?
Sure.
Is it C, diamond cutting? Mm-hmm. Or is it D, lumberjacking?
Brute the griddle or
girdle?
Okay, if it was griddle, I would be like, oh, that's cooking, because, like, griddle is a cooking thing. But girdle could mean anything.
Yeah.
Girdle is like that thing, like a harness, kind of, right? Sort of.
It holds things, yes.
Holds things. I mean, this sounds kind of a lumberjacky kind of thing, right? It's like, oh, did you brute your girdle? And he's like, yeah, I got it bruted.
Yeah, I'm
like,
not going to fall out of the tree today.
Yeah, he secured your girdle.
Yeah.
Right? And then the other ones were cooking. And then, what was carpentry one? What was the other one?
Tailor. Like clothes tailor.
Clothes, yeah, sure.
Or a diamond cutting.
So girdle and tailoring kind of sounds like the seat of your pants or something.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that needs taken in. Let me brute it really quick.
Okay.
You know. Let me brute your girdle a little bit. That sounds oddly sexual, too.
I bet a lot of tailor terms are oddly sexual.
Let me brute your girdle.
Yeah.
And then diamond cutting, I mean, it could be. I don't know what a girdle is in relation to diamond cutting. I think I'm leaning or lumberjack, but I'm going to use my 50/50.
Okay. It is either a B, tailor, or is it C, diamond cutting?
It's not lumberjack?
No.
Damn it. Okay, well, my second option was tailor, so I'm going to go with tailor, final answer.
It is actually diamond cutting.
Is it really?
Yes.
Wow. Well, so what does that mean? Did you actually look it up, or did you just was like, this is funny, I'm going to put this in a trivia?
It's kind of a weird story how I got this question. Like, earlier in the week, I was considering a career change, and I was like, I wonder how I become a diamond cutter. That seems cool.
Wait. You were thinking of becoming a diamond cutter?
You never, like, just have moments where you're like, what if I was
but I've never thought of becoming a diamond cutter.
That seems cool, doesn't it?
How did you think of the idea of diamond cutter?
I like rocks.
Sure.
That's
it. You're like this. So you're looking into this. And you found brute the girdle somewhere.
And I was reading the Wikipedia page for how you cut diamonds, and it's way too hard. I can't do it. Mm-hmm. And
do you have to use a laser or something?
There's a lot of different methods. mostly, I think it's machines that use other diamonds to, like, slowly grind.
That's so weird to me. Like, you're using diamonds to cut diamonds because the only thing as strong as a diamond is a diamond.
Yeah.
You know the weird thing? Like, what if we ran out of diamonds? Would we not be able to cut diamonds anymore?
But...
All right?
That's a weird chicken before the egg thing, because, like... If you don't have any diamonds, do you really need to cut them? Like,
okay, here's the greatest question of all. This is okay. The perfect chicken and egg. How did we cut the first diamond?
We didn't.
What do you mean we didn't?
You find one and you're like, oh, it's a diamond.
Yeah, but how did we cut it? If we wanted to cut it down into a smaller diamond, how did we cut it?
We probably couldn't.
So how did we get here?
We found more.
We found another diamond that we cut the other one with?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's got to be it. There's another way to cut them. You can use, like, a silicon carbonate or something, but you need a laboratory to make that, so...
Okay. Anyway, Gert the Girdle, whatever the hell it was.
Brute the Girdle.
Brute the Girdle. What does that mean?
It's, you do a thing with the diamond. You probably put it in its harness so that you can scratch it.
The diamond harness.
Yes.
You should be a diamond cutter. It would be fun.
It would be fun, yeah.
Yeah. Do you have to go to, like, technical school for that? I imagine there's a school for it. Like, there's a school for welding. You know what I mean? Like,
I think the diamond school, though, you have to go to places that have diamonds. And
like Africa.
Yeah, basically. Or India.
Sure. That makes sense. You should, Have you had any other career change ideas?
I think about this stuff all the time.
Do you?
It's mostly mechanical stuff, like machining work, kind of like cutting gemstones. You're gonna be a machinist.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a really boring job, but I like boring, chill stuff, so.
Does it pay good money? You don't know.
Not really.
That's fair. I don't know. I don't really think of career changes that much. I mean, I think of it like a what-if scenario, like, what if I did this instead? But not like a... I'm going to become a diamond cutter. You know what I mean? Like, not really in that
I mean, I'm not, like, totally serious about it, but...
But you're not unserious.
I'm not unserious. Like, if the prospect sounded super exciting, I might try.
I hope one day you'll be a diamond cutter. But you never know. What else is going on? Did we have any stories to talk about today?
We did. We were talking earlier about how Google is really evil.
Oh, my God. They're so... I don't even remember how I came up. Oh! The story was they're making a video game console or something like that. People were talking about this. And this led me down the path of, like, you know what? If I were Google, I would give away a video game console for free. And I would just collect all your data as you play it. You know what I mean? Because that's what makes them money now. Like, they don't care if you buy their stuff. They just want your data.
That's basically their business model. All their products are free other than their
Google
phone.
Home is like $5. And the reason is they just want your data. Like, they don't care how much you pay for a Google Home. Yeah. You know? Like, literally, you can get Google Home, I think it's like $30. Well, it's a little more than that. But, like, there were deals where you could get it for, like, $5 with a coupon. You know what I mean? Like, they don't care. They just want it in your home so they can hear what you're doing.
Yeah.
But this led me down the path of, like, I think that Google is the most frightening company that has ever existed in the history of man.
Yeah, it might be too early to say that they're evil, but...
Maybe not evil. They're definitely frightening, though.
They're very frightening. They're very powerful. Did you hear about that story where there was a recent government happening where they were trying to get some answers from Google about how they're, you know, controlling data on the internet? And when they were asking questions to the Google guy, none of the lawmakers knew even how to begin asking the question of, like, are you doing something wrong? Like, how do you even
know? They didn't even know how to phrase
it. Like, no one actually even knows how to ask that question in a technical way.
Nobody knows what Google's doing.
Yeah. That's scary.
It's like they're the only ones that know enough to, like, be critical of themselves.
Yeah.
Which is really frightening.
And their products are they're so good. The problem is they're so good. Like,
and everyone uses them.
Yeah.
I don't know. It scares me a lot.
Yeah, we got into talking, though, and like something else I think about all the time is, so corporations are getting bigger and bigger, right? Mm-hmm. And this isn't a new thing. It's been kind of, you know, the four or five big corporations dominating every industry for at least as long as I've been alive.
Yeah, for sure. They but just kind of cycle which ones they are.
Yeah, what's new in our generation, though, is that now that we communicate pretty much only with the internet, that means that these very few big corporations are getting control of the way we communicate with each other.
Right. So, like Google, for example.
Yeah. And God, as time goes on, it just seems like when you go online, it's like, okay, this is what people are talking about, and this is what you're allowed to say about it. And if you don't...
If you deviate from that.
If you don't agree to either one of those things, you just can't talk to people in the world.
Yeah, because no one wants to hear that or whatever.
Yeah.
It's almost like Google, and we were talking about this in relation to politics, which I find fascinating, and you mentioned that, like, how is it that 50% of people vote Democrat and 50% of people vote Republican? Like, that doesn't make any sense when
that's
you think
astonishing.
About it. You think there would be a majority, right? You think, like, a big majority. Like, granted, sure, I'm sure some at some time periods the majority would be sway one way and other time periods it would sway another. But, like, you would think most of the time throughout history, either most of the population is one or the other. Not, like, they're identifying with that, but they vote that way. You know what I mean? Yeah. But it, time and time again, the margins have gotten smaller and smaller. And instead of being like, oh, yeah, 80% voted Republican in 1960, whatever, and 70% voted Democrat in 1980, whatever, you know what I mean? Instead of that, it's like, no, it's been 50-50, like, for a long time. Which is very weird, because that's not how, like, math works. Like,
yeah,
there should be a larger gap between...
Like, why not just vote with the best party, you know?
Like, when one is right, like, then more people are going to see that and vote for it, you know?
You would think.
And if the other one is really good at manipulating people and they're wrong, then more people are going to vote for that. But, like, the majority of people would vote for that. So it's like, either way, it should be a bigger number than 50-50. It should be, like, 70-30. You know what I mean? But it's not. It's never 70-30, which is very strange to me. Because in the course of human history, you couldn't take two topics ever and be like, hey, what do you guys think about this? And 50% of people say one thing and 50% of people say another. Like, that's not how anything has ever worked before.
Yeah.
You're always going to have most people say one and most people and some people say the other. Always.
Yeah, the thought experiment I was trying to work with was, so you have a game, right?
Yeah.
And the goal is to make two different teams. And the rules of the game are the teams cannot agree on anything. Like, if Team Red thinks one thing, Team Blue has to think the exact opposite thing. Sure. There's no middle ground. It's either yes or no, and they have to be opposites on everything.
Right.
I don't think I could do a better job creating teams that were... that had a 50-50 split, like splitting a population down the middle, than we have in our country. I just
right
don't
now,
think I
with,
could do better.
With the two political systems, or two political parties. Yeah, I don't think so either. Like, it's like optimal gameplay.
It's optimally split.
But here's the thing. That's the thing that bothers me, because for it to be optimally split, I feel like there's 100% chance that there's multiple people pulling the strings in order for it to be split. Like,
oh, yeah.
Because I don't see in any way it can naturally be this split. It just doesn't make that just doesn't make sense to me.
No,
there's always a majority opinion, no matter what. Even if that majority opinion is wrong or right, doesn't matter. There's always one. And like with politics, it's like almost never. It's like always really close. And it's like that doesn't make any sense. Humans don't work like that.
No. Well, we're all very similar. We don't like to think so, but like when it comes to political issues, one should have a majority.
And I think the weird thing, and we're getting like conspiracy theory territory here, and that's fine, because we're not really saying this is how it works, but we're just talking. And obviously, right now, you know, like, I feel like, and I don't want to bring politics too hard into this, but like, I feel like most people should be on the Democrat side right now. Just even regardless of your political affiliations, you know, I just feel like most people shouldn't actually be leaning that way just because of the present course of events, right? So it's like, this is happening. It shouldn't be 50-50. This is the time of our country where most people, I feel like, are going to be swinging to the Democrat side. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And at other times throughout our country, most people swung to the Republican side. Like, it goes back and forth as things happen, right? It makes sense. But, like, now it's, like, still 50-50, and, like, that doesn't make any sense to me. So, to me, it sounds like someone is pulling strings in order to make it still be 50-50. And the only way I can see that happening is if, like, they're literally being like, okay, we need this issue to be, we need to have this opinion of this issue so we can get some people from your side over to our side and even it out more. You know what I mean? And the other side's like, okay, we need more people on this side, so we're going to take this issue from you guys and have it ourselves now to even it back out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so like, there's like this game.
Yeah. I'm going to definitely go into politics territory real quick, but I'll tell you what I think is happening. Okay, so we've created these entities called corporations, right? Mm-hmm. And a corporation today is like its own entity. Yeah. Like, it survives on its own. It has its own set of ethics.
It has rights.
Yeah, it has rights. And since we've created these corporations... God, how do I explain this? Like, business ethics are really simple, and every corporation abides by business ethics. They just have to make the most amount of money possible at any cost. Like, nothing else matters. That's the most ethical way a corporation can behave, is to, like, guarantee its survival, is to just make the most money possible.
Yeah.
So we've created these things, the corporations, that don't care about humans.
Right.
They only care about making money, and they... people act on behalf of them, right?
Right, yes.
Because our livelihoods kind of depend on the corporations. Like, if you invest money, if you work, if you do anything, you actually need a corporation to survive in order for you to survive.
Right.
So, like, as time goes on, these things are getting more powerful because that's their directive. That's their ethics.
That's how it works, yeah.
And they've gotten so powerful, it's... the most profitable way they can exploit people, because that's how corporations make money. Mm-hmm. That's just what they do, is you divide them in half. That way, whenever you want an issue to switch, it's easy. Do you know what I mean? If it's close to 50-50, you can swing one thing to one side or back. You're
totally right.
It's way easier to control.
Because if it was 70-30, they would have to... try to get on the 70 side team, but that might be hard because they might not want that. So this way, they just have to find one of the two that they can be on their team and then push the voters over to vote for that.
Yeah, it's way easier to swing if it's closer to split.
Wow, that's wild. So you think it's corporations that are doing this?
Yeah, I think it's why. And maybe it's not a conscious thing, maybe it is. Like, I think that's just naturally how business ethics evolve.
I think it's just how, I think that's just how.
Like, you have an entity that is made by people to exploit people. This is how it's going to survive most efficiently.
Yeah. It's like sentient.
Yeah, it's like they're alive, and we, like, fight for them, and they're more important than our lives, and it's just weird, man.
It is weird.
Crazy.
This is some weird conspiracy theory stuff. But it sounds almost real, right? Like, this could be happening.
I mean, we know people lobby...
To a micro extent, it is happening. To a small extent, 100% it is.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just how far does it go, right? And yeah, there are lobbyists already. We already got that. You know, companies already donate money to political parties.
To make what they want to have happen.
Yeah, it's just... Anyway, I know. Politics is weird, but... it's strange that it's so 50-50. Like, it's so weird. It doesn't make any sense. And, like, when it should be more than that, it's not. And it's like if any time in history it should be swinging, it should be right now, right? But it's, like, it's, like, not swinging that much. Like, maybe it's swinging a little, but it's, like, not much. It's weird.
No, really, the next election's going to be really close, I guarantee.
Yeah, and like, it should be close.
It's going to be really close, dude.
It should be a landslide, but like, it's not going to, like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Something is happening. Something is going wrong.
Yeah.
And we don't know what it is. And maybe it's natural. It doesn't feel natural. It feels artificial. But maybe that artificialness is natural in the way that it's being.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's these artificial things we've made that are pushing it towards this weird outcome that doesn't feel good. Weird
50-50 out natural order thing.
Yeah.
It's like the universe is balancing itself.
Yeah.
Like, any way it sees fit. And it's like, this is how it's going to be, you know? And we're just like, okay.
Yeah.
So weird.
That's why it's super easy to see why there are so many conspiracy theorists these days, because a lot of stuff is weird.
It is, and you can't explain it, and the only way to explain it is to come up with some wahoo conspiracy theory like we just done. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. And that, I think that's the annoying thing that I have with people discrediting conspiracy theories. Like, I think we should discredit all conspiracy theories, because they're dumb. But a lot of times, when people discredit conspiracy theories, they don't address the, like, core concerns of the conspiracy theory, right? It's like, people create these crazy conspiracy theories about, like, what's the fucking New World Order or whatever.
Yeah.
Because they have this weird feeling that there's, like, this control over their lives and others' lives, right? And when people discredit that, they're just like, oh, that's wrong, that's bullshit. It's like, yes, it is bullshit, but, like, you're never really addressing why it feels so controlled and weird that anyone, like, there's a reason they came up with that to begin with. Why did they come up with that? Well, it's because they feel like there's some weird, like, controlling happening in their lives. And, you know, that's something that a lot of people feel, because a lot of people have the same conspiracy theory. So, like, something's there, right? So let's figure out what it is. You know what I mean? Like,
they're ghost stories.
There's some truth to it, but they take it too far, right?
Yeah, like, back thousands of years ago, when you would get sick from a cat, they'd say, oh, that cat gave you a demon, it possessed you. Like, we didn't have the technology to see that, oh, this is why you got sick from the
cat.
But
it was partially true, right? It's like,
yeah,
that cat gave you a demon, but, like, it didn't give you a demon, it gave you
a worm.
Right, it's like, we were kind of right, but we weren't completely right. But, like, I feel like it's the same thing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I would like people to actually address the core parts of conspiracy theories more, because, like, there's stuff there that I don't want to get into, it because I'm not a conspiracy theory believer, but it does make sense why people believe them, because it's like, how do we explain this? Well, it's the lizard people or whatever.
That's why.
I mean, the
I'm ready for your second trivia question.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm totally ready.
Okay, your next category is history.
Okay. I'm going to go with Monty Hall.
Okay. Your question is, Heinz Henschel negotiated the return of Germany into the international blank in 1947.
Okay.
Heinz Herschel negotiated the return of Germany into the international blank.
That's a great name.
Is it A, the International Paris Peace Treaty? Is it B, the International Ice Hockey Federation? Is it C, the International Mr. Universe Federation? Or is it D, the International Treaty of Moscow?
I like how the first and the last one are like, okay, that's real. And then the other two are like, but it could be the other two. Ice hockey and Mr. Universe, right?
Yeah. And you know what Mr. Universe is, right?
Yeah. Okay. No, I know.
That's like, where the big men come on stage.
They pose.
Yeah.
So the other ones are Paris Treaty and Moscow?
Yeah, Moscow Treaty. International Moscow Treaty. God.
Like, like, it could be any of these. I'm going to feel really dumb if I choose the Ice Hockey Federation or whatever. But, like, at the same time, like, totally could be that.
Yeah.
So this is post-war. Obviously, Germany is banned from the Ice Hockey Federation.
Yes.
Heinz Herschel's like, we got to get back in somehow. So he lobbies for them to bring Germany back, and the Ice Hockey Federation's like, oh, I guess so. I mean, I could see that happening. I could see that. I could see Mr. Universe happening too.
Yeah, that's actually that's big in Europe.
Yeah, it is.
That's where Arnold came from.
It's true. Okay. I'm gonna use my money haul.
Okay.
And I'm gonna lock in. Oh God, what do I lock in though? This is hard. I gotta lock in one I think it's not, but I think it could be any of these. I'm gonna lock in ice hockey.
Okay.
Federation.
Heinz Herschel negotiated the return of Germany into the International Ice Hockey Federation or the International Paris Peace Treaty.
God damn it. I didn't know what I was expecting. Because the problem with Monty Hall here is either outcome was bad for me. Either you would give me ice hockey or Mr. Universe. I wouldn't know which one is right. Or you'd give me ice hockey and the Paris thing. And, like, again, I still don't know which one is right.
Yeah.
Like, no outcome was going to help me here.
You narrowed it down 50-50.
It was smart of you to make two serious choices and two dumb choices, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that way it screws me more. Do I really want to choose ice hockey? Is it going to sound really dumb if I get it wrong? I feel like it's ice hockey.
Is that your final answer?
Am I being crazy right now?
No.
Like, so it's say the full name.
International Paris Peace Treaty in 1947, or International Ice Hockey Federation in 1947.
I'm going with ice hockey. Final answer, ice hockey
Federation. Are you sure?
I'm 100% go.
You're correct.
Yes! Yes! Wouldn't it be awful if I was wrong?
Yeah.
Oh man, that was a good question.
I love that question.
You almost tricked me there. The fact that you had two stupid ones, that was good. That was well played. Like if you had three stupid ones and like one peace treaty one, it would have been easier for me.
True. Yeah, I definitely designed it around the Monty Hall lifeline.
That was smart. That was smart. Man, international ice hockey.
Yeah, thank you, Heinz Herschel.
Yeah, thanks,
Heinz. Very nice of you.
I want to know someone named Heinz Herschel.
That's a cool name.
I don't know anyone with any cool names. It's also alliterative, you know, HH.
Yeah.
No, not many people I know have alliterations in their names anymore, but it's important.
I know someone with a really cool name. I don't want to say his name, though, because people listening will Google him.
On the air.
Yeah.
Who's this guy? Bob Balaban, okay.
Let me look him up. He has such a cool name. I'm pretty sure he's the only person in the world with this name.
Oh, you should we should text it to me later. So I can post it on Twitter. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding. Speaking of Twitter, we have a Discord that we use.
We do.
That nobody joins. Like, and I mean nobody. Okay, we have like one person. No, two.
Two people have joined.
But here's my thing. Do you use Discord in general?
No, but not really. If I have a reason to, I will.
Sure. I go back and forth with Discord because it's like, I have like a jillion channels, okay? And I don't look at all of them all the time, but I have like a jillion because over the years I've accumulated them. And sometimes I'm on like a Discord roll and I'm like, oh, I'll talk to Discord for a long time, blah, 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 blah. And then sometimes I'll go like months without looking at it at all.
Yeah.
But the issue here is some people Discord all the time. And they have these cool Discord communities and they like chat and blah, 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 blah. And like, I want to be part of that, kind of. But I don't want to like have to work my way up to it, you know? I just want to be there kind of thing.
Yeah.
But that's what I want for our Discord. But no one has joined our Discord because I guess we're lame or something. I don't know how to make a community out of Discord.
Yeah, we had a good thing going. For a couple days, we were chatting in there, and it was super fun. I was like, wow, it would be great if we could do this all the time. And just hang out.
It stopped happening, yeah. The real thing is, it's people. You need more people in Discord. So then when people go on a hiatus, other people come in to fill the gaps. Yeah. You know what I mean?
What you really need is crazy people that just They do is Discord. That's actually what you really need.
We just need more people in our Discord, and we pinned it to our Twitter. Like, I don't know what we have to do to get more people in our Discord, but I want it. I don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
Here's the ultimatum, okay? We should both agree to this. We are not going to Discord in any other channels but our own Discord. So if you want to talk to us, you've got to come to our Discord.
I mean, I don't really talk in any others right now anyway.
Shh, don't say that. Okay. Is that a good ultimatum, though? Because then people are like, oh, I want to talk to them. Got to do the Discord. Because we're very friendly in real life, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to the show.
Yeah, and Discord... Okay, so Discord actually works better for me as a medium than something like Twitter, too, because... Mm-hmm. I don't know.
There's a back and forth.
Yeah, Twitter freaks me out for some reason. It's just too social media-y. Discord is a little bit, but it's more like IRC and chats, which is what I kind of grew up with and I'm comfortable.
My favorite thing about Twitter is when you text me things of like, this would be a funny tweet. And then I'm like, you should do it. And you're like, no, I'm too afraid to do it. And then I do it and I get like a million...
Yeah, I like that too. I enjoy that more than if I had posted it, honestly.
I would prefer you to post it. But if you're not going to do it, I'm not going to waste it. Like, it's a good joke.
Yeah.
Like, I can't not. My favorite tweet you ever did. This is, and it got like one like. One like. One measly like. You tweeted. Remember last year the chess championship or whatever?
Oh my god, yes.
And they had like this like new logo. It was like this avant-garde art logo.
Yeah.
Do you want to explain it? I don't even know how to describe it.
Yeah, so the World Chess Championships last year hired this avant-garde artist to design their logo. And he designed a logo that looked like two people having sex while playing chess.
Their
legs were all tangled,
and there was like a chessboard in between them.
Yeah, they were okay. I'm gonna use a word. I don't know if we're allowed to use this word, but they were scissoring
while playing
chess.
And you tweeted the picture. And you said, players, please enter the international chess position. Or something like that.
Yeah.
And I could not stop laughing for like an hour.
That was really funny.
Like, that's the official positions of chess.
That's chess position. That's how you play. I mean, that's not how you play chess.
That's how you play chess. It's like... I imagine, like, an announcer, as they come up and start to scissor, it's like, and now the players are entering the international chess position.
They lock their legs and they're like gazing into each other.
They give, like, a thumbs up to the ref, and he's like, all right, here we go. Start chess. Oh, God. Anyway, Twitter's stupid. You make a lot of funny tweets, and I don't think they're well-received, though. I think they're funny.
But. I think I'm funny, too. I don't know.
I think the humor you have for Twitter is not ideal, right? You're not like angry enough, and you don't like call people out enough. You're too like not weird. That's the wrong word.
Weird is a good word. My humor is kind of like under the radar. Like,
well, Twitter has a lot of weird humor.
Yeah,
but their humor is like nonsense. Weird, right? It like doesn't make any sense, and it isn't supposed to make sense. You know what I mean? Yours is like weird and like a, it makes sense, but it's strange kind of way.
I have a good story about my sense of humor that is my favorite thing that happens. So we got a new employee at my job about like 4 months ago now.
Okay.
And very recently, within the past couple weeks, they just detected that I make jokes, like, all the time. Like, it just clicked that the things I say are jokes. And now they laugh when they're around me, and they, like, joke with me.
Because they realize it.
Yeah, but before, they would be really weird around me, and be like, oh, what does that mean? Like... And that's my sense of humor, though. Like,
it's like under the radar. Like, when you get it, it's funny. But like before that, you're like, "What is he saying? What is he saying?
What the fuck? Like,
this guy's weird. I don't understand this."
Yeah,
maybe that's why.
That's my favorite kind of joke.
Maybe that's why I think you're funnier than everyone else on Twitter, because when you tweet a joke, I like get it because I understand you're weird and you're coming from a weird place. Yeah. But other people are like, this doesn't mean anything to me. Maybe that's what it is. I have the context to know what the where the joke is coming from.
Yeah, context is important for comedy.
And it's impossible on Twitter. That's why Twitter's jokes are bad. So what are you going to do?
I will say that there's some people that I follow on Twitter that I really like that I wouldn't have known about without Twitter. So I'm sure. Thankful for that. But
no,
it's
no, yeah, me too.
It's like 10 or so people that I really like on Twitter.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason I keep logging into that site. But otherwise, I don't really enjoy contributing on it very much.
Am I one of those people?
Yeah, absolutely. But I knew you before, so it's like that's it doesn't count.
That's fair. You didn't really need to do it. Yeah. I have some Ask Reddits for us if you want some.
Let's
do it. I feel like we haven't done an Ask Reddit in forever. Do you feel the same way or no?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay, first question. What should the first city on Mars be called? I feel like we've done this question before. This was like question one on episode 3 of the Time Dash Show.
Call it Mars City.
Mars Town, Mars
it's like,
Land.
It's like Kansas City.
Mars City. Everyone has like cattle and stuff.
Yeah.
Mars City.
The That's first totally what we would call it,
no,
too.
We would call it Mars City. Yeah. But what language would we call it Mars City in? Would the first city on Mars be English language or would it be some other language? Right? That's an interesting question. Right? Like, what would be the language of the city
That's
on Mars?
True. On Earth, like, if you think of... With somewhere like Japan, you know, in Japan, it's Nippon. In Mars? English, it's Japan. No, I'm talking about on the planet Earth, the location Japan.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, I guess whoever gets there first gets to do it.
Gets to name it. So it's like a plant the flag in the ground kind of deal?
Yeah.
So if we get to Mars, it's the United States. Then we're like, all right, Mars is English. And we just plant our flag, and then from that point forward, all the cities are called Mars. You know what I just realized? This is cool. Remember in the 14th, 15th, and 16th century how everyone was discovering the New York world and we fought over the land for, like, hundreds of years?
Yeah.
We could do that on Mars.
Yeah, we could. Fun.
No, but, like, we could have a bunch of conquesting wars on Mars. We could.
We could. Do you know what would be funnier? Okay, what? So here... All right, sci-fi idea. Mm-hmm. All the nations are getting ready for the great conquest out west to Mars, right?
Of Mars, yeah.
They send all their ships up. They all land about the same time.
We're all doing it this at the same time?
Yeah, because, you know, it's a conquest. You got to get
like
there first.
It's like a global thing. Yeah, okay, anyway, go ahead.
China's sending them. Okay. U.S. is sending them.
We're all racing.
We're racing. And they all plant down... And once the astronauts get there, they're like, oh, shit, it's really hard to survive. Like, oh, my God. And they all become friends. But the thing is...
Oh, yeah.
The thing is they don't want the people at home to think that they're being friends. Because they'll stop sending supplies.
So they, like, fake a war?
Yeah. They send them video clips like, oh, look out, here's a big explosion.
And they're, like, making obvious, like, noises in the background.
They're like, oh, Jimmy just got shot.
The war on Mars is raging here. And they have, like, news crews. They, like, they're like, in on it or whatever.
Yeah.
The war on Mars is raging. America just took the Sea of Tranquility, or that's the moon. But you know what I mean? We'd have some name for it.
Yeah.
And the Russians want it back. What are we going to do? Ah.
And the system for how they decide, because they're going to have to report their conquests to their individual countries.
Sure.
The way all the different people on Mars decide how to divvy up the land is they just have a poker night.
And it, like, rotates whose colony.
Yeah, whoever wins poker night gets to call the next landmass.
That's good. See, I like this Mars thing. It's good. But we totally would fight. But it would be hard to survive, so...
That's why I think we might not fight, because if survival is hard enough...
We would start to try to fight, and then we'd be like, oh shit, we gotta do this together.
Yeah.
I mean, they're on Mars, like... We can't... They can't just be like, hey, can you send more stuff? And America's like, it's kind of difficult to do that. So they're gonna have to band together.
Yeah.
Do it. Maybe it'll be one of those, like, joint... expeditions, you know, like where we have a bunch of countries that come together and like send one person of each country, you know,
to Mars.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It'd be really hard to communicate, though.
Yeah.
They're all speaking different languages. I don't know. Whatever. Okay, this is a fun question. You're a scientist with no moral or legal boundaries and unlimited funding. What is your research?
I have the perfect answer to this question.
What is the perfect answer?
So, there's a video game called Sonic Adventure.
Sure.
That is the exact premise of this question. Dr. Robotnik gets unlimited funding from the government to just do whatever he wants.
To do evil.
No, not to do evil, just to do science.
I don't remember this part of the story.
I'm pretty sure it's part of the story.
Anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
So he makes a giant lizard.
Why?
And his explanation was that he's trying to make the ultimate life form. But here's the thing. This giant lizard is so big he can't even leave his room. And he needs to be attached to tubes and life support to survive.
I don't remember this part of the game at all.
It's in Sonic Adventure 1. It's the one for the Dreamcast.
I know.
Yeah.
So anyway, what happens to the lizard?
Dr. Robotnik sets out to create the ultimate life form, and it's a giant lizard that can't leave his room because he's too big, and he has to be attached to life support to survive.
It doesn't sound like an ultimate life form.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, can you imagine being Dr. Robotnik, and you got all your tubes plugged in, lizard's ready to go, ready to turn them on. Then you turn them on, and the lizard just makes, like, struggling, dying noises.
Like, I can't leave. I'm stuck.
He's not even a smart lizard. He can't speak English or anything.
He's just stuck in the room. He can't even move.
I got to imagine Dr. Robotnik in that moment. He's just like, wow, you know.
Wasted a lot of money.
Wow. It's not as ultimate as it seemed on paper.
What constitutes the ultimate life form anyway? Like, so many movies and books and video games, like, have this concept of the ultimate life form. Like, what does that even mean?
I don't know.
You know, like, what would you say is the ultimate life form? Probably something that's self-sustaining, right? It doesn't have to eat anything.
Like, and it would be Ouroboros lizard?
Yeah, and it's, like, asexual, so it can just reproduce whenever it wants.
Mm-hmm.
And it can't die, you know. That would be the ultimate life form to me.
So, like, AI?
Yeah.
The Terminator is the ultimate life form.
Sure. Or a jellyfish, you know, either way, one of those.
Yeah, I think the stoner answer is, like, just life itself, man. We're all one big life form.
People. Yeah. People are the ultimate. Or no, the cell is the ultimate life form. Whoa.
Whoa, man. I don't know. That's a good question. That's in a lot of movies, that ultimate life form concept.
It is.
And it's usually, like, a lady with a gun arm or, like...
She has a gun for an arm. It's like, you are the ultimate life form. It's like, why? Because you have a gun for an arm. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Run really fast.
You can do a cool backflip. That's why you're the ultimate life form. And they don't justify it. They're just like, you are the ultimate life form. Do we have another trivia question?
Oh, that's right. We have one more trivia question. And the category is history again.
I'm going to do 5-second Google.
Okay. The question is, the Royal Air Force first used the blank, a 22,000-pound earthquake bomb, on a strategic railway viaduct in Bielefeld, Germany.
Okay.
So, this is the name of a bomb.
The name of the earthquake bomb.
Yes. Is it A, the Grand Slam? Is it B, the Big Ben Slam?
The Big Ben Slam?
Yes.
Okay.
Is it C, the Fat Man? Or is it D, the London Thunder?
Well, the Fat Man is what our nuke was called, so I feel like they wouldn't use that. I like the London Thunder. It sounds like the name of a soccer team. Please welcome the London Thunder. Also, when you started with Grand Slam, I was hoping that it was all going to be Denny's names.
Oh, I should have done that.
The Grand Grand Slam. The moon's over my hammy. What would the moon's over my hammy bomb do? It would cover everything in pork or something.
It's a it's a dual neutron bomb. Like, the neutrons orbit each other like moons.
Yeah, like moons over my hammy.
Yeah.
If I was a bomb maker, I would name all my bombs off of Denny's menu items.
Me too.
Okay, I'm going to do 5 second Google.
Okay.
Let me know when. Okay. I'm ready. Wait, this is British earthquake bomb, right?
Yeah, the Royal Air Force first used the blank. On a strategic railway in Balefield.
It's an earthquake bomb, though, right?
Earthquake bomb.
Got it. Royal Air Force Earth. Got it.
All right, ready?
Uh-huh.
3, 2, 1, Google.
Royal Air Force bomb. Grand Slam. There it is.
Is that your final
answer? So it was a Denny's menu item.
It was, yeah.
I'm going to go with Grand Slam final answer.
Yeah, that's correct.
So you totally could have made all these Denny's menu items.
I wasn't thinking 100%. Denny's. I was thinking more like British.
No. I know you were. I like the London Thunder. It sounded more like a bomb than the Grand Slam. But I'm just thinking of Denny's menu items because I love Denny's, even though I don't. But, you know.
I love Denny's when it's time to eat Denny's.
Yeah.
Like, Denny's, sometimes. You really only eat it when you're at, like, an anime convention.
No, I'm aware.
Yeah. And we've talked about this.
The Wild West Omelette. That's not really a good bomb name. No. Sunny Topped Omelette. No. Super Sampler. That's a good bomb name.
Yeah, that's a good bomb name.
It's like a sample of every kind of bomb.
Yeah, it's like a dirty bomb. It's like a plague bomb.
It's like one of those that drops a little small bombs, you know? You know what I mean?
A scatter thing. A
scatter bomb, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lumberjack Slam. That's a good bomb name, too.
That really is, yeah.
It, like, destroys the trees. All-American Slam.
All-American Slam? I like that. Isn't there, like, a country boy, or is that the, is that Cracker Barrel? That might be Cracker Barrel.
No, that might be Cracker Barrel. Where's Moons Over My Hammy? Did they remove Moves Over My Hammy? Oh, no. Moons Over My Hammy. There it is. The Grand Slam Witch.
That's another bomb.
It's the Grand Slam in between two other bombs.
The Moons Over My Hammy bomb is in between. I want to make a video game where it's like a bomb game. You like bomb. It's like Bomberman, right?
Yeah.
And all the bombs are like named like this, and they're really stupid.
Breakfast sandwiches.
The Wild West Omelette. That's not a really good bomb name, unfortunately. Pancakes. Sorry, I'm looking at Denny's food.
It's okay. Do you have their menu up?
I do. The House Salad. It's not a good bomb name.
That is a good bomb name.
The Club... Ooh, the Super Bird. That's a really good bomb
name. Yeah, that is a good one.
Isn't it? The Pot Roast Melts.
Oh, that sounds like it hurts when it kills you, doesn't it?
Yes! Denny's Build Your Own Bomb.
Or like a patty melt. That would hurt, too.
We should do a whole episode where we go through the menu of restaurants and decide what they would be if they were a thing.
That's a really good idea. Whatever.
Homestyle meatloaf. That's
gross.
Oh, wait. The Crazy Spicy Sizzling Skillet. that would be like a really like kind of bomb, you know? Like it would like it would do a lot of sizzling. I haven't even got to the burgers yet.
Do a burger. I need to hear their burgers.
Slam Burger.
Slam Burger. That's a good bomb name.
All their other burgers are kind of boring names. They're just like bacon avocado burger. It's like I feel like Denny's should be more, you know, more spicy sriracha burger. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They need to have more bomb sounding and entree items.
Yeah, I agree. Loaded baked potato soup.
Bomb. Don't you wish you were an engineer so we could, like, bring this to a contractor?
I got it! I got one! This is the best bomb. Are you ready?
Ready.
This is a fish dish at Denny's.
Oh, no.
I think you should never order. It's called the tilapia ranchero.
Me and you need to get into bomb making, and we gotta set up an investor meeting with the Pentagon. We gotta go.
So many good names.
We gotta go in there with our briefcase and be like, okay, this one's called the Tilapia Ranchero.
That's such a good bomb name.
And I think the Tilapia Ranchero. We show them a photograph of the bomb. And we got to spray paint, like, a fish winking, and it's like...
He has a cowboy hat on!
Yeah, with a cowboy hat. Yeah.
What kind of a phrase is that? Who even invented this name?
That sounds gross.
Sounds disgusting. I didn't look at it. Like, I saw the picture, and I just stopped looking. I, like, didn't want to... Should I figure out what that is?
Do they just put tilapia in a, you know, regular huevos rancheros?
Seasoned fish, white filet grilled on top of freshly made pico de gallo and avocado. So it's just like tilapia with like Mexican stuff on top of it. So they're just like, it's the tilapia ranchero.
Sounds gross.
Tilapia ranchero. My favorite bomb name. Oh, God.
You can picture the bomb, right? With the fish on the side with the cowboy hat. Picture
it. It's, like, shaped like a fish, too. Like, it has a little tail.
Yeah.
You know, the bomb?
It makes it more aerodynamic.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway. Oh, man. I want to go into the bomb-making business, only just come up with these names for bombs. We have time for a couple more, right?
Yeah, we do.
Sorry, I'm thinking of the Tilapia Ranchero bomb.
I was just thinking, you know, maybe we could just get into the bomb naming industry.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we don't actually have to know how to build them.
Here's the thing about bombs. They all have fun names. Like, that's the point of bombs, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you got the Fat Man and the Grand Slam, and there's a couple others in World War II that were fun. But they always have, like, goofy names. But today, like, the military doesn't have time to name their bombs. They're just going to call them, like... the B0001A or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah, something totally stupid.
But, like, we can come up with great names. Just give us, like, a theme that you want, and then we'll get them. Like, if your bomb is, like, really crackly, you know, then it might be the zesty sizzling scrambler, you know what I mean? Like, that's the bomb name right there.
You know, maybe we can even expand with this business. You know, Boeing was in the news recently. And I feel like if the Boeing 737 MAX was called something a little cuter and, like, a little more, you know, a little more fun, maybe they wouldn't be having so much trouble.
Yeah, like one of the Denny's menu items. We could call it the... That doesn't work. The Super Bird. That was one of the names.
That's perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, just name it the Super Bird. And then it's like the Boeing Super Bird. That sounds great.
That sounds awesome. And you know, when the Super Bird crashes, you can just play it off like, oh, the Super Bird? It's called the Super Bird. Like, what else do I need to say? It speaks for itself.
Yeah, that's true.
There's nothing wrong with that.
What happened with Boeing? I didn't read this.
Oh, you didn't hear about this?
No, what happened?
Another one of their planes crashed. It's the,
747 or
it's they have a new kind of plane out called the 737 MAX. And in the past 6 months, two of them have crashed, and like 300 people have died or so.
That's not good.
There have been zero survivors, and they're thinking that it's really bad. They're thinking it's a problem with the software.
Oh, that's great.
So, of course, this week, Boeing made a statement that's like, it's fine, guys, but if you look, they're releasing software updates this week.
Yeah! Oh, my God. We live in the worst time because software can crash a plane.
Yeah, people should know. People should maybe be aware of this.
Imagine being the programmer that was responsible for the bug that caused 300 people to die.
Yeah.
Right?
That would be a bad feeling.
Yeah, that's terrible. Do you think they could be held accountable for that kind of thing? This is like another show's worth of topic. I was thinking about this with self-driving cars recently, but like if the programmer writes code that causes people to die, you know?
I mean, who do you blame it on? It's not the car's fault.
Right? Like, who's accountable in this situation? I don't want to get too deep into this because we don't have very much time left. But let's say two self-driving cars that were both created by Google get into a car accident and one of the people dies. Who's liable in this situation? Is it Google? It can't be Google because they can't sue themselves. You know what I mean? Yeah,
who pays for the injuries?
Yeah. It's weird. It's
a really good question. Maybe, right? Maybe they just write it off like it's no one's fault. Maybe,
but then like you have, wrong. If you don't hold someone accountable, then like what's to stop Google from just being like, we don't need to worry about safety anymore? You know, like there's no reason for them to do that if they write it off. It's scary. It's a scary topic. Like, yeah, we have to have accountability, or they will do whatever they want.
Yeah, they have to. That's their MO. They just got to make money, and safety costs money.
So, like, the only thing I can think of is if that happened, like the two crashes, both passengers, families, would be able to sue Google because they wrote the software that crashed the cars for money.
Yeah.
But if they were allowed to do that, Google would not be in the self-driving car business anymore because that would be very, very expensive for them. Because every time, let's say they get like 80% saturation. Well, then now suddenly, most of the time when someone gets into an auto accident, it's Google's fault, you know, and now they get sued out the wazoo. You know what I mean? And they're going to fight for that not to happen legislatively. But that's the only way I can think.
That's fair.
That's fair. Exactly. So, like, the alternatives are sue Google when this happens, or Google's just not held liable, and then we're in, like, a dystopian hellscape where Google can just do whatever the hell it wants with no accountability.
Yeah.
Who's our sponsor today, FedSex? Sorry, what were you going
to
say?
I was about to take it to the same place. Our sponsor today is American Birdman brand tobacco.
When you're in the mood to chew something really great,
an American, choose American Birdman.
Birdman. Remember when you're feeling kind of down?
Turn that frown upside down.
Oh, wow. You rhymed down with down. Good night, everyone. Drive safe.
Bye.